listening to Thoughtful Discussions with Josh Snyder. I'm here with my co-host, Corey Ochai.
Yes, hello. How you guys doing? We are here back with another one. We got a special guest here today as well, too. So really excited about this one, man.
Absolutely. So tell me who you are, a little bit about yourself, and then I'm curious about how you heard about our podcast, because you reached out to us, and I'm really excited about that.
Sure. Yeah, you're the first one to actually reach out to us and was like, yo, can I be on the podcast? Yeah. And it was like, he found us.
Yeah.
We usually have to go and find people. So it was really, it was actually a monumental moment for us too. Like, damn, man, finally somebody can hear us and they see us, man. So that's good. But yeah. So how did that even work out, man? How did you find out about Thoughtful Discussion?
So I have a friend, Austin Lyons.
Oh, Austin, man. That's what's up. I forgot what number he was. He was like 60, 70?
60, 70, something like that. Yeah.
It was a dope one.
We became friends over the last year. We've been like hosting shows together. He hosted a show. He hosted two shows that I performed at, and then he helped me with my show, just the idea of it.
Love it.
And just orchestrating it as best as I can.
Cool.
So.
Absolutely, man. They say if you want to meet a group of interesting people, you find one interesting person, you ask them who their friends are. Yeah. Now, Austin is definitely an interesting person, man, and his work is actually absolutely amazing. We got a chance to really go through his story when he came last time. So it was really dope to see, you know, he stayed on brand. Like, the people he's around himself with also is doing dope stuff, man.
Shout out Sauce.
Yeah, shout out to that man. Shout out to you, boy. My guy.
So, who are you? Introduce yourself. You didn't get a chance to. Sorry.
You're right. I'm Aaron Ellis. I'm just an artist from Bell Vernon, Charleroi, Mon Valley area, and just started making music back in high school with a couple friends. And over the years, I didn't drop at first.
Yeah.
But once I thought that like my sound was good and I was comfortable with like dropping music, and I had the first song that I loved, I just ran with it ever since.
Got you, man. That's interesting, man. So what age did you start creating? Like, what was the first time you got in the studio? Or first time you heard yourself through some speakers?
Yeah.
Is the better way to say it.
I was really young. I was probably about 7, 8.
You was young, for
very
real. And is that the day you found out? Like,
what kind of equipment was that on? Was that just like a tape recorder? Just like, I want to see what it sounds like.
Story for y'all.
So there was a DJ setup in my basement at the time. And I was just with my cousin messing around. And I always was interested in just around music.
Yeah.
So one day I just hopped on and just made a song on a CD.
Yeah.
Which I still have.
Legit. Oh, yeah. You still got it, too?
It's somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd have to look for it, but I believe I know where it's at.
Yeah. It's one of those things. You see it, and you're like, I'm not going to throw. You throw everything out from that dresser or that drawer, but you know not to throw that away, man. I got the same thing. And, it's so crazy you said that, because when I was, I would say about 10, is when I created my first song. I used to go by the name Red Dog.
So weird.
It was like the first beer I ever drank. So I was like, you know what? I thought it was cool or whatever. And we used to record off of this this boom box that you get from like Family Dollars that has like a little mic at the top of it. You can just speak into it.
I know, you gotta have a
beat playing on something else.
Right.
That's fire.
It was a whole thing, man. But it was dope. It was dope, man. And I remember hearing my voice for the first time and said, oh, shit. Hey, yo, I might be able to be like who I'm seeing, who I'm looking at, who I'm inspired by. So who inspired you, bro, when you were that age? Who was somebody that, because, you know, you're making that first song. A lot of times we got to make it like something we hear. So who were you listening to, and who were you, you know, could you say inspired you at that age?
There's not like one specific person. I think it was like a time period of music, which was like, like R&B, early R&B, like 2000s, and then hip hop, like 50 Cent, Eminem.
You came in at a good time.
Yeah.
You came in at a good time.
It was just like, it was always fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Especially 50 Cent's music.
Yeah.
It just sounded like, made you want to dance.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's still gangster, but it did make you want to dance.
Yeah.
I remember when that came out, I was a senior in high school. I think it was 2004. you know, and right. 50 really hit the scene, and you know what I mean, of course, you know, in the club hit, but it was like when you listen to his album, there was an element of what we had in the 90s where you were just too cool for school, you know what I'm saying? Right. You couldn't dance at the party, but he was that dude that was like that, but he would make music that you felt good still dancing to, because if he could dance to it, I can too, you know what I mean? Right. But his wordplay and his hooks, the hooks that he would create are still to this day is like one of his, that's one of his pedigrees, man. That's one of his things that knock him out the park. So, yeah, man. So you said Eminem and 50, bro. You taking me back. I'm sorry. I rolled down memory lane on an old man rant real quick.
So I'm curious, do you have people that were in your circle at that time? You said like your cousin had a DJ set up. So
it wasn't my cousin. It was it was my mom's boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
He had like a DJ set up in the basement. And my cousin would always sleep over.
Gotcha.
So we were just like together.
Rocking on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Love that. So I am the youngest of five kids and there's a gap. And so the oldest one, we're 15 years apart. So like when I was 5-6 years old, I was listening to everything from MC Hammer, New Kids on the Block, like just like that era. Like I was in that like early 90s. Mm-hmm. Music where like I think all the other kids that were my age were just like listening to like kid stuff, and so like there was that like
probably New Kids on the Block or something.
You were tapped in early.
Yeah, definitely. And like even just being like a kid here in, you know, early 90s and like for my age and what other kids were experiencing, I think I was able to see a lot more, a bigger window. And I wasn't just seeing like what my parents were doing and what they were into. I was seeing like I'd see that, and I'd also see kind of like more of the current pop culture. Although I don't consider myself like a pop culture trivia like kind of person, but I definitely have a wide spectrum, especially when it comes to music. So did you have something where like you were able to have like, was there someone older that was like influencing you to see that like wide range?
Yeah, I would say him and my mom. My mom would play a lot of the early R&B.
Yeah, I definitely hear that in your music for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my mom would play that, and then I would just go listen to Lil Wayne mixtapes. Mm-hmm. And once I got into Lil Wayne mixtapes, and like right when I went to middle school,
yeah,
is really when I like thought music was something I could do.
Gotcha.
Like when I was a kid, I was doing it for fun. I didn't even think about it at the time.
Right. Right.
And it was just something that was fun, and I didn't really like take it too serious. Mm. But once I got to middle school and then high school, that's when I had a feeling where it was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And this is what I love. And so I just followed it.
So do you consider like when you are like investing in your like recording or merch or whatever that is, do you feel like that's like an investment? Like how do you, I'm curious at like a younger age, because I work with people that are older and they already have something else that's established, but going in younger and being like, this is what I want to do, and I'm gonna try to find a way to like record this, do this, whatever. I can't even imagine like doing that in high school or doing it in that. Like, did you consider that an investment, or were you already like kind of past that and it just like needed to happen? Like, how did that come to be?
So just like all the people that were signing up for college, like 11th and 12th grade year, I didn't even think that I wanted to do that, like, at even the slightest bit. I didn't tell anyone, like, yeah, I'm going to make music, because I didn't even drop music really in high school. Like, there might have been, like, two songs that were released by someone else.
Yeah.
Other than me that I was on a song with. So I guess that was going around a little bit, but I didn't really tell.
Would you perform?
Not in high school.
Okay. So how did people know to put you on a track? Or
we were just like, hanging out.
Yeah.
With the
homies. You'd just be around it.
I was always around it, yeah. It just came to me.
It's one of those things I think that just develops. Like at first, you know, it used to start off when you'd be in the cafeteria, you just spitting a few bars or you're just singing a few melodies and you're just always around. You're always playing with it. Next thing you know, you get an opportunity maybe to perform at a party or something. And, you know, it's like, you know what, let's record this. And I think it's just a gradual growth to get into that. But you just have to be in it and be really true to it for a while. So you said in high school you were just dropping a few tracks, you know, just here and there playing around. Mm-hmm. And then you said you had that moment where it was like everybody's signing up for college and everything like that and enrolling in that. You said, no, not doing that. This is what I'm doing. That's a brave move.
Yeah.
That takes some huevos, but also like you did it right. And I'm going to tell you why, bro. Because you're at an age right now where you're fearless. Like, I think the more years that you have under your belt, the less fearless you become because you start thinking more rational.
Right.
But when you're younger, it's the best time to go for your dreams because you're just like, you don't know enough to be scared of, so you don't move scared. And that's usually how I see, like, the younger crowd really succeed.
And that's how they're able to kind of push.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
push what the last one did. Yeah.
But I'm even talking to you, even though you may, you know, years-wise, in my, you know, from where I'm at, you're young. But I can tell your mentality,
pop
bro.
Pop it open,
You got a mentality of an old soul. Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. I can hear the way you talking, man. So you seem like were you always this mature when you were growing up? Is your music like resemble that? Because you feel like you were raised in the 90s for some reason.
Yeah.
You got that vibe.
What was your question again?
Pretty much, you know, growing up, have you always carried yourself this way? Were you always like the young old guy? Because you feel like you're an old soul, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I think so. I would like to think that I was always a little bit mature for my age. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I was definitely a little bit immature, too.
Oh, yeah. You got into your shit. You know what I'm saying? You got to. You got to live a little bit, man.
And I meant to say, whenever you said the college thing, I did enroll, like, the summer before college started after my senior year, and I only went for like a month, and then
you found out quick. It was just like
wasn't it for me, at least.
Okay.
And the thing about being young is like you could always go back. Like I still consider going, like when my son's a little bit older, maybe I'll go back, maybe I'll go with him, do some little, like,
man, I think it's important to say after you get done with high school, and I'm gonna put this on wax, I think it's important to get some life experiences before you commit to something like that, because a lot of times you're doing that, you're just doing it because your parents want you to do it, and you don't really know what you like. And I think the brave ones are willing to say, like, you know what, I'm gonna invest in me.
I'm gonna
count on me. I'm gonna shoot the shot. I know if that's something I want to do down the line, I can do that. But
and it doesn't need to be the end all be all. If it does, like, if it's just like, try it. If you're young, you could try a handful of things.
Yeah, it wasn't the right time.
See what works. Yeah.
So, all right, after high school, right? Mm-hmm. After this whole college, you know, thing, whatever, you still making music, bro. You still making music. How did you see your music evolve from how you were in high school to post high school, like after high school? Like, you got more time on your hands. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably start diving in head first. What did that look like?
So my high school music was really bad.
Okay.
I just think quality wise, and I had flow when I go back and listen, but quality wise wasn't there yet. I was still finding my sound and getting comfortable on the mic rather than just trying too hard.
I know exactly what you mean. There's people out there listening like that really do this. They got every word of that. For sure.
And then after high school, I started taking it to the next level, like bigger studios where people produced like Grammy records or just like Billboard plaques.
Yeah.
Just taking it to the next level and investing real money into it rather than just being in at the house. But I record at the house now, so I can't even say that. I think I just didn't have enough.
I think technology provides that opportunity, but yeah. it's important too, though, to know, like, it's one thing to do that, but it's another thing to see that. Who was taking you around to see these type of things? Did you have a mentor? Was there somebody, one of your homies? Like, who introduced you to your first big studio?
I think it was my boy Ty and T-Wall. Okay. We went in high school.
Tell us that story, man. Tell us that story. Bring us back real quick, because I want to know what the first taste of that was like when you're in the actual studio.
You're like, oh, this is the industry.
Yeah, yeah. They on the other side of the glass. You know what I'm saying? My man's talking to you through the headphones. He's saying, look, hey, man, we need another take. You know, what was that feeling like, bro? You already know what it is. You know what it is.
It was nerve-wracking. I think we all pitched like maybe 30 bucks for however many hours we got. But it was different. Right. We were all pretty nervous, I think.
That's what I wanted to ask, too. What was it like the night before? Because you know you're going there. Yeah. Some people might not have made it. You know, my mom got me doing this. I can't make it, because it really feels like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what this podcast is about. There's somebody that's in that position that's going to be listening to this, that's going through that, and they may need to hear your story to make that initial first step. Because you see what happened after you made that first step.
Yeah.
You couldn't go back after that, probably.
Right.
You know what I mean? But so break it down for us, man. Let's see what those emotions that you had to navigate to get to that.
We all wrote a verse. It was on some cipher.
Okay. Who went last?
Maybe me.
That tells me everything I need to know, especially at that time. Yeah. You the anchor? Yeah, he's the anchor. You know what I'm saying? I got you. All right. Well, go ahead, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut it.
No, you're good. Yeah. I haven't heard the song in a while. I don't think it was that good.
We played that.
I don't have it personally, but it's probably somewhere out there.
Yeah.
I just haven't heard it in a while.
They're not all A-sides.
No, they're not supposed to be, man. Yeah. You got to get through some bad ones to get to the good ones. But so what happened when you guys made it to the studio and you wrote that one verse apiece? You know? Yeah. How many takes did it take?
It was pretty quick. He got us in and out. Since we already had it written, it was our first time there. He basically just
went in like some pros then.
Yeah.
On that behalf.
We were kind of in a rush though too, because of the how you have to pay for an hour or 2 hours. I forget how many. It might have been one or like, two.
Get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of rushed through it and just got it done, and we had it, and that was our start to
right. What was your learning experience?
I was just about to go there.
So after that, I went back to like recording in closets, or at my parents' house with a mic and a laptop. And then I didn't. That was early high school for me. That was early, like maybe like 10th grade for me.
Yeah.
And that was the only time I went to the studio in high school.
Got you.
At a big studio, and then
y'all play. How many times did y'all play that for everybody in the hallway, bro?
I'll be honest, I didn't play it much. I didn't play it much.
Well, also, you said you were only putting out a few songs. There was somebody in there that was like hold up, you gotta listen to this. This that next M, that next 50, or Lil Wayne. I think it was Carter 3 at that time, right?
Yeah.
It was out there. He was like, it's like that. What was the song about, man? Oh yeah. I'm going there. I know there was, you know, it was
diving in.
Yeah, it was the ladies. It was a little maybe an L here and there in the air.
We were real deep on like Joey Badass at that time.
Man,
like,
boom that was bop. Really boom bopping that.
So it was more like lyrical than
than
like melody based.
That's really that means y'all really care about the craft.
Yep.
Especially coming in, and that's y'all first one. Y'all were really going for the lyrics. There could have been a lot of bubblegum stuff, which I'm not saying bubblegum, but there's, you know, that right there is respect. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You get my respect on that one, because I think there's a lot of people at that time were going the opposite route, because it's harder to. It's one thing to be a lyricist and actually speak of something that may bring value to somebody's life from hearing it through the ears. Mm-hmm. And you got to be really good at that for people really to digest that. That lyricism is it's a little easier to make you bounce than to make you think.
It's where it starts.
Yeah, really. For sure.
Where it started, at least.
Yeah, I love
hip hop, right?
Hip hop, man.
Didn't hip hop start with boom bap? I think so.
Well, I wouldn't say I would. For real, it was probably like "Don't Push Us" because we're close to the edge type stuff.
Okay.
But what it evolved into was yeah,
New
yeah,
York.
Yeah, it really got into that. You know, yeah, I mean, we're talking Wu back then. We're talking, you know, we're talking Rakim. You know, these guys. You know, guys that really, even Illmatic when that first dropped. That was. That lyricism, man, there's so we found out what you can do with words and how it can move the masses and how powerful it is. So when somebody taps into rapping for the first time and they ain't trying to just say 1 + 1 = 2, they want to tell you how the numbers were discovered, you know what I'm saying? And who was Aristotle and shit like that. You know, when they're talking some talk that's beyond face value, is like, no, I want to get into your mind and make you think a little bit after you hear this. You know, that's a whole different level, bro. That's actually shooting for the stars when you only got a slingshot, you know?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But let me hear, so where did that go after you got that first taste of that in that studio?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was going through your head? Like, for one, was it as hard as you thought it was going to be?
Oh, it was harder, I feel like.
It was?
You're nervous, you're sweating.
Yeah.
And you're not even, like, being that physical.
Yeah, that's true, Like, you mean, then, like, after high school? Like, after you start doing it more? Or, like,
I was talking about my first time in high school, like, 10th grade.
Yeah.
It was nervous. And then after high school, to go back there, I just kind of found my own connections through social media.
Mm-hmm.
To like just producers that were working there or artists that have been there. And then basically I just built some connections. And then
did that make you more comfortable with working with people that you kind of had a rapport with?
Sure. I recorded a bunch of songs before I dropped a song.
How many would you say you recorded? How many were you recording every day?
Oh. Not every day. It was pretty expensive for me back then.
Oh, well, I mean, when because you went from the studio and then you start recording in your in the closet, right?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So you said you were making songs beforehand.
Just I wouldn't make that many songs. I would write a lot.
Okay.
I didn't know much about engineering in high school, so I mean, I would mess with it from time to time, but I didn't. It was just I wasn't there yet.
I got you. There's always a process, man. Mm. That's a whole different wormhole to go down after that. But yeah, so all right, cool. So you're making music. You're dropping these things. When did you say I want to sharpen this up? Like, when did you think you start to find your sound? Like, when did that come around? Where it was like I know what I do.
It was like late 2017.
Okay, mm-hmm. What happened?
I don't know. I think I just was in a good space financially and mentally to drop my first like song on platforms and promote it. I was always like nervous to promote it because I would think like I don't want to be that guy. Like
right.
At first, that's how I thought, but.
It's a vulnerable feeling, man.
Yeah, it's like to drop your first song or any music at all, people won't understand you really and they might be like stereotype.
That's all creativity, you know? Man. It's just the same with like an art show. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Feel like you're going out there naked.
Yeah.
Because you put everything you got into something and you kept it in these four walls where no one can see it, and then you got to put it out there into the world and let people just walk by it and look.
Yeah.
Judge it.
Totally
right.
Judge it.
But opportunity. When people, different for visual art, when people are like in the gallery and they're looking at your stuff, even if it's just like a local community show, and you get to watch people react or like stand there for a minute, and like people are either going to walk by and be like, that doesn't really like, I'm not vibing with that, and they just keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll like stand there and they'll really like maybe step a little closer or step a little back, like to be kind of involved in it. Mm-hmm. So like with the visual art, I think it's less like just people coming and seeing it. It's like an amazing feeling and you're like, wow, this is this happened. But with audio, there, I feel like there's a lot more room for like critique and the vulnerability. I feel, and Corey, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the vulnerability is a bigger part of it.
Well, yeah, you're using. I mean, I feel like each of them have their own. I think
they do.
And you're absolutely right. I feel like there's some similarities.
There's a lot more room for negativity.
There is a lot more room because you're going to probably, you know, when you have an art piece, you really kind of have to see it.
Right.
I can hear something from all the way from Japan if somebody wants to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Moon. It's Lex the Terrestrial had a first song on the moon.
Yeah, the avenue of where it can reach people is a lot more broad. So the more people you reach, the more ideas people are going to have, the more opinions they're going to have. But you know what? That's always how it starts. I think the goal was to get to a point where it's saying, I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this because this is what I do.
Right.
That's the goal for me. But I still suffer with just those feelings in general. I think it's just something you always got to keep combating.
And then there's also imposter syndrome.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were just talking about that.
See, I don't know what that is, but I kind of feel like I know what it is.
Yeah. You know? So, like, in general, it's just the idea that, like, you're doing something and you're making it and, like, maybe even, like, as an artist, let's say you're having an art show and you're like, but am I really an artist? Like, there's people that are so much better than me that aren't even having a show. And you're just like, am I sure? And that, like, that doubt, that self-doubt and, like, questioning yourself.
You.
Yeah.
So, all right, you put something out there on a platform, it hits 100K, right? And that's the pinnacle. People are coming at you, they're praising you and all those other things. And then you have this idea like, damn, I don't think I can do that again. I don't think I got it. You know what I mean? If you get to that point, don't be scared of it. Just break through it because it's an indicator that you're in the right space.
Right.
Because what you're trying to do is push beyond what that is.
Right.
But also, don't do it for nobody else but you. That's how you don't really play with that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, play with that mentality.
Right.
But that's that feeling. If you ever get that feeling, that's what imposter syndrome kind of feels like to me.
Okay.
And I go through it from time to time. But also now I've developed a healthy relationship with it and use it as a challenge.
Yeah.
To push me forward. Yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely gone through those ebbs and flows for sure. And like the best way I could describe it, I'm getting chills right now. It's just like when you get into that groove and then you're like, I'm on. Like, and just like the it doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing, but like, you know that in your head, like, you have this like spotlight on you and you're like the switch flipped and you're just like doing your thing.
You feel it.
So yeah. Yeah. Right. And like, that'll come back just doing the thing and just keep doing the thing.
Yep.
You'll get back there and like, you'll be a one hit wonder if you just make one hit and you don't try it anymore.
If you let it take over.
Yeah. Right, but if you're just like, cool, that's one, and let me do it 1,000 more times, and if another one hits, that's great, but like, the chances, like...
And you know, there is a way to combat that, though. And I feel like, there's a book called Atomic Habits, I forgot the guy's name, and I'm watching the masterclass, and it's not about the goal, it's not about doing it to reach this amount of people. What it is about developing the system.
Yeah.
So if you're consistently making music and you're consistently getting 1% better in what you do while you're making the music, forget about what the goal is. What you're doing, your system will develop that outcome. And because the outcome is a residual of this system. So all I do is just worry about the system. The rest of the stuff will do what it's supposed to do. The universe will be what it's supposed to be. But if you keep doing the thing in this system, it'll just happen, and it won't be a one time thing because that wasn't my goal. My goal was to come in and just create, and then put out. then create. Let it be when it's out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. That type of thing. Don't get me wrong. You still got to push with marketing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But once it belongs to the world, let the world have it. And then there ain't really much you can do but just create more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll just chop it off and let it go.
So what did you, how did you get past, like, I'm sure you've had people that really liked your music and you've had some people that didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Like, what are steps that you take to keep your mental health and, like, the energy when you're creating new songs not affected by that negativity?
So I was affected by it early on.
Yeah.
When I was, like, getting a lot of...
What was your reaction to it? Like, negatively?
Because
that might help people, too, that are, like, going through that.
It would just be, like... You mean, like, what happened?
Yeah, how did you experience that? When you experienced that negativity, like, how did that make you feel? What did you go through? And then how did you get out of it?
It was probably just too much social media at the time. And depending too much of all my screen time.
Mm.
And...
On the feedback.
And sending it to people to get a response.
Right.
And then
some... Not doing it for yourself.
Not doing it for myself.
Right. Yeah.
But just trying to grow as an artist.
Yeah. At the time. I think part of that is taking temperature. And, like, that's a good thing. Whether you're, like, any type of artist is going to want to try to put out their best work and then get examined.
Yeah.
And especially by people that you are looking up to, right? You want that kind of mentorship. But with music, I could definitely see, like, you have – it's so much easier because you're just like, I have this link and I can just push this out to people. And now with social media, like, people are so accessible. You can ask your favorite artist, like, hey, will you listen to this, please? I want to know. Like,
yeah.
And that could be – you know, you don't know, but on their end, maybe they're getting that thousands of times a day, and it might not be an appropriate way to reach them. So there's definitely a time and place, and that mentorship, like, it's when it does come, it is something to be very valued.
Mm-hmm.
And but when you're trying to, like, when you're first coming up and you're trying to get that, it's hard to figure out, like, where that's going to come from for sure.
Absolutely,
I can see that.
You know, I really. Yeah, man. It's real interesting to hear you say that, though. The social media, you know, kind of depending on the screen time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something a lot of the older generation. I mean, we're trapping it too. Can't nobody tell y'all shit now. But like, that was something we used to always kind of worry about. Was like, it's like, oh, what's the effect of? Because we didn't grow up with you know, I mean, phones in our hands and stuff like that. So there's some of the things that y'all going through, we won't have nothing but, we won't have the answer to it because we just don't know much about it.
You're still developing that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like kind of tough to see, it's kind of dope to hear somebody that's growing up in your time be able to still identify that. I don't think y'all get enough credit. You know what I'm saying? Like that, right. That generation that's coming up that's really at the peak of adulthood and going into the next atmosphere. Like, you know, we was always worried about y'all, but now we're just worried about ourselves. I think we were just pointing the finger, not to point at ourselves. But y'all got that, man. That's really dope to hear you say.
What year did you graduate?
2016.
Okay.
Dope.
All right.
Yeah, man.
So that puts it about 11-year difference.
Yeah, man. I'm not even going to say what the difference is. Y'all can guess my age, man.
Yeah.
I'm 27. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm 10 years off. But... All right, cool, man. So after you really combated the feelings that you had, you know, after you did inventory with yourself and you realized, like, okay, these are some of the issues that I'm going through, you know, how did you remain disciplined to not let that affect you as much?
A lot of people just stop right there.
Yeah, in the upcoming years, like, so how did you move differently after that? Pretty much is what I'm saying.
I definitely had to go through like a low period in my in my career with music at the start. So I definitely went through a low, like, rut.
Yeah.
To where I was just depressed a lot.
Mm.
I wasn't making like high energy music. Mm. But
ooh,
I was.
You went through a period.
Yeah, for sure. I still mess around with like certain types of. sounds.
What type of, they're usually in the artist, more melancholy. The artist stage, yeah. That usually is, you get some really off the wall stuff in those times.
Yeah.
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 For sure. And then I guess I would just not listen to too much current music while creating, and just create more than I tap in. And when I do tap in, usually it would just be in a car for not that long of a, like when I'm going for a drive, just hear something for a second. I still don't as much.
As far as consuming music,
is it hard listening to that music?
No. It's just I don't want to listen to too much current music because I don't want to sound like what's popping right now.
Yeah.
So I listen, I do listen to a lot of oldies, like 70s currently.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a discipline.
Yeah, it just depends.
I think you just like what you like, and you're not liking it because someone else likes it.
Right.
Yeah. You're looking for the artistry. When I was asking, is it hard to listen to the music? I was thinking about the music that you made.
The dark
stuff. In that period of time.
Oh.
Have you gone back and like looked at it? Because that's like me looking at a journal from when I was going through depression.
Yes.
I do tend to look at it, but sometimes it just sits in that corner and looks at me. So I'm like, do I want to?
Like, you know what was in there. You know what you said.
There's so many beautiful things in there too, though, man.
It's a good reminder.
And you know what? You said that was happened to you, and this is what I'm gonna say to you. Good.
You gotta embrace it.
I'm so happy that happened to you at this stage.
He said you gotta embrace it.
You young. I know, right? It's so crazy because I ain't even gonna call you young. You a man, bro. And I could tell by just the way you talking and the way you moving. A man is his mind. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And your mind right now, bro, is you gifted. Yeah, if you got it at this time, you're gifted, bro. And it's really dope to hear that you're going through it, and it didn't stop you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Like, because most people crumble, and I'm talking people that are my age and beyond, 50-teen, I call them, because you know what I'm saying, 50-teen, bro.
That's a good one.
But yeah, it's a good one, man. That was a good one. Write that down. But I'm serious. That perseverance, man, it doesn't matter. Things are going to happen in your life. The first thing I ever teach anybody that, especially like my kids and stuff, the first thing I ever taught them was, what do you do when you fall? You get up. That's what life is.
Yeah.
Life is just a whole bunch of those, and it don't matter. Yeah. Fall happens to every single person. It ain't about that part. It's about what you do afterwards.
Exactly.
And it's so cliche, but that's all this thing is. And that'll separate the strong will survive and the weak will die off, and you ain't dead, bro. So that's dope to hear that you went through that and you actually made it a gem instead of a crutch. You know what I'm saying? Because it seemed like that you learned a lot in that area. In that
time. Sure.
Yeah, what did you take in from that time? Maybe how to tap into your like a raw emotion?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely, and just say how I feel.
You didn't know that at that time, but later you realized like that was a good. Yeah.
I actually just recently dropped an album with songs dated back.
Oh yeah.
From like that time.
Got it.
You're like
ready to put it out.
Give me an example of that, like a title of one of those songs. Like you said, they were dated back from that time.
Yeah.
That guy flew over my head a little bit. I was like, if you can explain that a little bit for us.
Oh, so it's basically just old, like all old songs that I found in my email that I haven't heard in a while that I didn't want to hear for a while.
I got you. That was that book that was looking at me, my journal. I was like, I don't know if I want to open that up.
So I basically just went through one day through like all my old music and I was just listening to it and I was like, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. It's wild, man.
And it's raw. It isn't too. It's back from my first apartment where I really started making music.
Mm.
And it's dated up and through the years until now. But there are a few gems from that time that inspired me to drop the album.
Yeah.
Did you re-record it?
No.
No,
but even better. He said, no, I'm putting it out. You really don't give a fuck. Mm-mm. He said, I don't care what you think. I was trying to be honest with you. And right. that's the beauty that came out of that, man. The fact you wasn't even listening to recent music. Like, I don't, even on Instagram these days, I won't look at other artists because it will make its way in. And I want to be pure. I want to create something that I've never seen.
You'll compare yourself a lot if you start to take too much screen time into your brain. Mm. You know, you'll just
that's true.
Want
and,
to.
And you know what happens? They say comparison kills joy, bro. That's a you'll fact. Never. And so I think your pure self, man, is just you want to get what's inside of you. You want to get that out. You want to do it purely. Mm-hmm. And I do. That's why I do like to create. Like most people, like, where are your windows at? How can you create it? There's not enough lighting. It's my favorite place because it feels like no one else can see me. I can be my pure self.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not looking out the window trying to grab inspiration. I need to grab that from within. I don't need it from out here. I need to pull whatever's in here and get it out. Right. I just want to be, I don't even want to say I've seen this before.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I want something like that. Just me, the purest form of me on the canvas. That's where I'm at.
You guys got a lot of cool paintings in here,
by the way. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate
and
that.
And artwork.
Yeah, yeah. That's all my work, man. That's
you guys stuff. Both?
None of my stuff in here except for, like, so I own and operate a printing business, so... Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the prints are mine, so like that's posters. A cool
print. I was looking at that too.
Yeah. His artwork, but my production, you know, getting the ink on the paper, and that's like my that's my kind of contribution. So I do visual art and I do the illustrations, and I've dabbled in music stuff, but like nothing that's real, like nothing published. Mm-hmm. And like grew up playing piano, recorded a good amount of stuff just kind of for fun, but nothing too crazy.
Hold up, man. We should use some of that music for the intro. You should bring it in. We should play it. We should chop this down and pop some in there.
We'll talk about it.
This was Josh at 15.
Right.
Playing the Pharaoh Luis or whatever, Beethoven.
For a leaf.
Yeah, I love was that. Trying it. You see, you got it. Yeah. You know what you're talking about.
No, I can play that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, man. We got to talk after this. We should talk on this podcast. But
yeah.
It's all
right. I play piano too in high school. I see this water right here, dude.
Yeah.
It's refreshing for sure.
Thanks.
This is
a new product we have where people can do a custom label. We partner with a brewery that's canning water, and we can make it for anything. So there's an art show coming up on Friday, and he got 75 cans of his own branded water, so he's gonna have them out there at the art show. And it's just like it's a super cool way to just like add more to the branding of like an event, but we're trying to get like restaurants, festivals, venues, that kind of stuff all interested in it. So
it looks official. I didn't want to cut you off.
No. It's beautiful, but that's you're absolutely right. I think it's one of those things where it's the next one, man.
Yeah.
You were telling
it's
me about
tough.
It.
It's tough, but it's
stopped,
like...
I haven't stopped yet. I'm like, man, we got to get some for the podcast.
It's official.
We're going to, for sure. I appreciate that. So, like, printing, we do a lot of, like, fine art printing. We do, like, the same, like, copy center stuff. So, copy, as far as, like, print shop goes, we're competitive with most other print shops. We don't do, like, apparel and stuff. But the, you know, for what we do, our forte is the art printing, where we're doing a lot of that and doing photography and fine art reproductions, working with museums, and like kind of gearing up on that. We definitely kind of like found a lane and picked that. So that's our, like, that's kind of my artistic contribution, but like I made this sign. So,
it's clean.
Like I put that up there. That's like a wallpaper. And, the vibe in here is great. I love being able to come in here. If you're ever interested in recording a podcast, you can rent the space out and work with Corey, 1028
Oh, absolutely.
Podcast
man.
Recording studio absolutely, in man. Sharpsburg.
Yeah, so we definitely do offer the full service podcast. So, I mean, you guys want to record, do the audio, also do video. I do editing as well. So, man, it's a whole thing. So, I was actually, that's where I thought my phone was off.
Yeah.
I guess I must have turned the silent on. I must have turned it off thinking I turned it on.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of my clients actually that actually do a show here. Hey, so, got drop off whole podcast to him. But yeah, man, it's definitely that's where my creativity is taking me now, and that's something I wanted to talk to you about too, because a lot of times it doesn't just stop right there. You know, it transfers over into other things. I think a creative is a creative all around. You know, where else where else has your art inspired you to become a better person or a better in? You know what I mean? Like, has it forced you to become a businessman? Has it forced you to become a marketer?
Yes.
You know, those type of things? Yeah.
It's definitely forced me to become, like,
more than just a musician. You know
what
I mean?
More than a musician. Yeah. Like a man.
Yeah.
Definitely business-oriented and just learning how to navigate through conversation with strangers.
Real talk, man. That's a real thing.
Yeah. And make friends of it, you know, and build connections. So that's a big one. You know, I was at a time where I didn't really want to talk to people.
Mm.
And, you know, you just got to break out of your shell and go for it.
Absolutely.
Get it done.
It'll force you. And that's even what this business did for me, was it forced me to become a better version of myself and then learn skills I didn't have. It's one thing to do the music. It's another thing to do the music business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to do a podcast. It is another thing to do podcast business.
I can imagine.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's and that's where, you know, our love pushes us to become better.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? The thing that we love to do. So it's just beautiful to see that's also happening for you, you know. So how have you marketed? Like, where can they go and find this stuff? Like, where can they go find your artwork, your music? I want to call it your. I don't want to call it just the tracks. You don't want to call
it's
it
the craft.
Like, it's the craft. You know,
yeah.
Where can they see you in your element?
Apple Music, SoundCloud is where I have more tracks.
Oh, okay.
I drop stuff that is not ready to. I just drop like throwaway songs on there, basically. More throwaway songs on SoundCloud, but Apple Music, Spotify.
I feel like that's people. That's pretty. Like, people do that.
Oh, absolutely.
SoundCloud is like where you kind of put it all.
Yeah, you get a chance to check the temperature.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So basically everywhere you listen to music.
Yeah, I was listening on Spotify. Good stuff on there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's like more like the fine-tuned stuff that's like ready. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's so dope. So it's almost like, when we used to have, when Wayne used to come out with the tapes, the mixtapes, that's kind of where SoundCloud is.
Right.
The mixtape world.
Yeah.
And Spotify is where you, that's where you.
The more polished.
Yeah, that's where you present your album. You know,
right.
Your 10 songs. Yeah. That's pretty dope, man. I don't know why it took me. I'm too old. It took me that long just to catch that. I was like, oh shit, that's the mixtape world. That's what it evolved into.
Yeah,
that's
for
where
real.
You go.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
That's dope. So, how do you determine if it's like? How do you determine if it goes to SoundCloud or if it goes or if it's Spotify ready? You know,
like, or is just, it like it kind of all goes on the SoundCloud and then, like, if it hits there or if you end up liking it.
It's always random with
me.
I should probably be more like orchestrated on it, but I kind of
clean
just,
it up as you go. As you get older, you'll start to.
We
develop
all winging
that.
It, bro. We just we'll figure it out later.
It's all like random. Like if I just feel like dropping a song on SoundCloud that I just heard in the car that I haven't heard in a while, I'm like, this is fire. But I lost the files to the song to get it anywhere more.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna drop it on SoundCloud or that's like a situation that would occur to make me drop a song on SoundCloud for
sure.
Yeah,
do you re-record stuff like if you're like, well, I like this but I want to make it better?
So I don't usually, but there is a song that I heard the other day that I want to re-record. It's more.
I want to take another stab at this.
Super R&B song.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's so weird, man, because even when it comes to like my artwork, that's how I feel about it. It's like I don't know if I want to revisit that.
Right.
Like, I think it's good where it's at.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take some of it from that and create something new, but just to do it again. It's like maybe it's me having anxiety. Like, I don't know if I could it's the imposter syndrome. I don't know if I could recreate that. I was a different person back then.
Right.
But I actually tried to re-record one of my songs that I did at a studio, at a different studio, and it wasn't it. Like, it just wasn't. Like, when I recorded, it was the first song I dropped.
Okay.
I tried to re-record it, and it just wasn't as good as the first one. The first one was just like, energy in the room.
Yeah.
My energy. I had a bunch of friends there. One of my friends was doing homework in college and just
it's
out
like
there.
That.
Just, yeah, it was.
How important is that, man?
It was fun.
Yeah, that environment. You have to create a world, man,
right,
where that, like, that's a vibe. Like,
what
is this?
You can't manufacture that.
Yeah.
Like,
what does your studio visits look like now?
So, I'm in the process of moving my studio right now. So, I actually haven't recorded in like a month at home, but it's usually, it was just a nice little setup. I got a desk, I got my TV in there, Xbox, futon. It's this cozy vibe, sort of like in here. I painted my studio, my last one, all white, and then I accented like this bright orange wall.
Gotcha.
Which was pretty, the color was called Emotional.
God.
So
you're too much of an artist, bro.
I didn't realize until while I was painting, I was like, just
no
keep
wonder
going,
why I'm like this is like, man, no wonder. No, nothing comes from nothing. Everything makes sense.
So do you like Frank Ocean?
Yes.
Oh, that's my God.
I like Frank Ocean's music.
Yeah.
For sure.
I felt like that kind of like a little bit of vibe there. But more when I was listening, it was like, like, that was there, but it wasn't like you were trying to imitate it, but it was like I could see that being like in the same, you know, world. And but I could definitely feel the like the R&B and the soul and like the your vibe like portrayed to a point where it was just like very honest, and from song to song it was like a I legitimately have listened to your music for like the last 4 days.
Oh, sweet.
So like
he hit me up right when he said he was so excited, man. He sent it over, and I hate to say that I did not get a chance.
I can tell you haven't.
Now it's like, oh, I fucked up. I can't wait. So after we get done with this, man,
you'll tune in.
Yeah, I'm tuning in.
Yeah,
like,
and this is your opportunity if you're listening.
Yeah,
tune in.
I got a wide catalog.
Yeah, but overall, it still sounds like you have a sound, and it sounds like you, regardless of like listening through the whole thing, like it still, it doesn't matter where you're recording at. It doesn't matter like what the beat, like there are different beats and there's different like vibes. But
I got my own style.
Yeah, there is definitely a theme, like a consistency.
A theme. Okay.
But that's what it's about. And now, but that's why I love the podcast, because I'm excited. Like, now
I know.
That I get a chance to meet you and go a little bit behind the curtain to really see your vibe. It's like, okay, I said, you earned the listen. I'm going in.
Yeah.
I'm going in. So it's going
to
be
I wanna know,
really
interesting. I want you to leave a comment. I want people that are listening or watching, leave a comment and let us know what you think of the music.
Absolutely.
Please.
So let's tie this thing down. I think we got where we needed to be. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about that maybe we didn't, or is there anything you want to say to the people?
Nothing really. I just I'm going back to the studios to master my tracks and make them sound quality. So
Taylor's version.
Absolutely. I mean, right before you guys came here, you guys were at the studio. So, I mean, that says enough. You know what I mean?
That was the reason we were late.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're good.
That's what we're going to chop it up today. That's why. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I'm saying that shows that you a real one. Yeah. You know what I mean? To me, like, that's a great, that's not an excuse. That's like, hey, I got to do what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And then this is get a chance to do this, man. This is, it's just dope to hear that. So, man, this has been a pleasure, though, man. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
Where can the people find you? Where can they find your SoundCloud?
Like, SoundCloud, social medias is at Click Ellis is most of my social medias. Mm. The important ones anyway.
Yeah.
Is Click Ellis. And then for music is just my last name, Ellis.
Easy to find. It was the first thing that came up.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a link. We're going to have a link in the podcast too, so you guys can go right under this audio or this video. And you'll be able to check out. You'll be able to check this young man out. So that's going to be really dope, man. What's next for you though? Like is there a goal for 2024 that you have?
I think I want to, since this album this year was raw and not the best quality. Mm. I think I want to do like a full project. I want to do a couple projects next year. I want to do at least one like hip hop, whatever, and then I want to do a R&B, which I've been working on, and then I don't know if this will happen next year. I would like for it to happen, but I want to produce like an EP or something.
Okay, man.
Like myself.
That's a great goal to have, man.
Yeah.
That's a goal.
I'm excited to see it.
That's a goal. So, hey, we'll be following. The people will be following. Josh, you got something that you would like to follow up with?
Just like my sign-off, I'll just say, you know, thanks for listening. We appreciate the fact that we're able to be here, do this, and introduce the audience and most of its family, friends, and if it's not someone that we've met or come in contact with, we're looking forward to it someday. And so the fact that we get to do this and we have people that are you know, interested, subscribed, and following us is a huge it's we're very thankful for it. It's humbling. A big part of it is just going out and doing it and being intentional and setting time aside to make sure that there is something that you want to do and that goal, and to push yourself to continue doing it. We started this late in 2017 and just crossed over the 100 episode mark, and it's just like you can put a lot of time, you can put a lot of money into something, but it's fun while we're doing it, and we very much enjoy it, so we appreciate that people could be here, and thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
People listening.
Thank you guys for having me. I just wanted to say thank you both, genuinely.
Thank you.
No problem, man.
I just wanted to hop on a podcast, and I didn't want to just hop on any podcast.
Dope.
Thank you.
So I definitely went through the catalog a little bit.
Thanks.
Tapped in, and just seemed like something I wanted to do.
We're on it, bro. We on it. I'm serious. It was like, this is the first time that, like, somebody's actually reached out and was like, yo, and Josh was saying it before you came in here. He was like, damn, it was really cool not to have to go and search for somebody like
right.
that. And like, you know, that they came to us, and to see that you were on brand with, definitely on caliber with everyone else that we've had here, which has been exciting, man. So it's just dope to see the podcast, you know, resonating with people, with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So this is just, it's an honor, man. It's an honor to have you on here. And it's just like, I can't wait to see where this can go.
Yeah.
I've been around the world, been around the sun of quite a few times, bro. I've seen some really cool people go through their journey. And I can tell already, like, you got something. Just in your vibe, the way that you approach in life, man, the way you do anything is no different than the way you do everything. And if your music is a resemblance, a true expression of who you are, I think we already got a hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm already in. So
yeah.
I'm excited to tap in. For those that are listening, should be excited to tap in. And if you like what you're hearing, you know, you like what you're seeing, and you guys want to create something similar to this, you want to let me help you tell your story, please log in to 1028 Podcast on all platforms. I'm actually on TikTok now.
Let's get
it. Your boy's not just a talker on the mic. I'm a TikToker. You dig it? Which has been an experience. It gives me an opportunity to work my craft on my editing and reach out to more people, and as well as 3 o'clock this afternoon, I was like, "What am I going to do? I'm gonna make a TikTok." I made sure no one was in the room when I said it, but I did that.
Ain't nothing wrong with TikTok.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with TikTok.
I'll be honest. Yeah. TikTok taught me how to edit videos.
Yeah, for sure.
And it has a good base.
Absolutely.
You can mess with it.
And that's like where I'm at. And that's the reason why I hopped on. I'm trying something. There's an editor that I follow, who talked about his beginning of his journey was in TikTok, and he was talking about how there's so many dope editors and they don't even consider themselves editors, but in the world that I'm looking at, you know, they're actually looking up to the way that the younger generation is operating in this space. And he actually went in there and started editing in there and learned so much more of how to resonate with an audience. So, you know, you got to go beyond yourself sometimes to, you got to do something you never done to get something you never got is where I'm at. So,
that's right.
And that's what I'm doing here. So now I'm TikToking, and I'm having a blast doing it. I'm enjoying every bit of it, and I'm learning so much.
They can find you at 1028 Podcast.
1028 Podcast, man, cool. On TikTok, or Choreo Chai. I don't know which one's the handle, but they're both up there. So you type in either one, you'll be able to find your boy.
I like it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, man. Ready to on out.
Well, for me, I just wanted to throw out there, I mentioned the printing, but I didn't mention anything about, so if you are interested in checking this out, check out pghprintship.com, and that's where you can find that. As far as the podcast goes, we appreciate all the likes, follows. If this resonated with you and you have someone that you think could get something out of this episode or another episode, we appreciate you sharing that with someone directly. That definitely means a lot. And then me personally, if you want to hit me up, Josh Snyder 86, Snyder with an I, you can find me just about everywhere, and hit me up follow along. And
PGH TikTok is popping, though.
Thank you.
PGH Printship TikTok is popping. I looked over there for some inspiration earlier.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do. I just want to let you know that before we get off, because you know your fellow TikTokers over here. We TikToking right now, but
I love
it's a thing.
I'm going to type into both of your
TikToks. Yeah, it's a thing, man. Hey, I'm dropping some gems on there. I'm just going, I'm going to put it out there, but your boy got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check us out. Thank you so much. And you've been listening to Thoughtful Discussions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Go out there, do something beautiful. The world's counting on you. This world's a blank canvas. It's up to each and every one of us to grab our brush and help paint this masterpiece together. We out.
Peace.
Peace.